Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. It's always nice to have visitors, but especially when we have repeat visitors. It's nice to have the Morrises back. We're going to start, we'll be done today, a series of lessons on biblical leadership. We did a similar study of this, I think, looking back, I think it was a little over 3 years ago. Amazing how time flies. Can't believe it's already November. But leadership is very important. It's important in your own life, our own life. It's important in a congregation. I would go so far, and this is me speaking, not scripture, but some of the very important religious decisions that one makes, obviously number one is the decision of your own salvation.
Amen.
No decision is more important than that. Is for you to dedicate yourself to God, to be obedient to the gospel, to be baptized, and to remain faithful. Next in line, for those that get married, not everybody gets married, but for those that do get married, is the decision of a spouse. That has ripple effects. Amen. It just doesn't affect you. It also affects your spouse. It affects any possible future family. It affects, especially a man, can affect their leadership abilities down the road. And then the third one we've got listed up here is congregational leadership. Congregations can go astray due to poor leadership. Or it can make a congregation. And I don't want to scare people in this series. I don't want to have anybody shy away from ever wanting to be a leader in a congregation. But I do want to drive the point home, the responsibility, the immense duty of service.
Amen.
That is expected and required for a leadership position like that. One of those is from the people itself. God's people want leadership. God's people want to be led, but they won't be driven. And I'll just speak my personality. I will follow all day long. Good luck trying to drive me. Good luck trying to herd me along like cattle. Good luck. But I will follow godly principles all day long.
Amen.
There's a big difference. A big, big difference of between people that want to be in charge and those who step up and are a true leader. We see it in employment. We see it in the sports world. We see it even in the religious world. There's a big difference. Some people want to be in charge. And those are some of the people that should never be in charge.
One more time.
Tracy didn't hear. Those are exactly the people that should not be in charge. Some, and there's very, and I'm not putting motives to any specific reason. But these are some of the reasons I've seen that sometimes people want to be a leader out of pride. Some people want to have their own way. And I tell you, if we think about this, those of us that have been in the church for any length of time, we might start putting faces with some of these examples. We see it, though, in the workplace. We see it in clubs, organizations. But we're talking spiritually now. This lesson is about spiritual, biblical leadership. Some people may have an agenda, a personal agenda that they want to accomplish. Some feel entitled. I've been a Christian X amount of time. I should be in charge by now. And this is a real person. A wife of an individual felt that they'd been a deacon long enough. They should be an elder. Thank goodness the man never became an elder. In fact, they didn't even stay in the church. Some people want a title. They don't want to do any of the service. They don't want to do the hard effort that goes into being a leader. Many of you own businesses. I will speak just because I've witnessed it. I'm going to use Daryl for an example. Daryl's the hardest working person, and when he was working in his company, he was the hardest working person in the company. He never asked a person that worked for him to do anything that he wasn't willing and usually didn't do. Some people just want the title. I'm the boss. But true godly leadership is difficult. Don't want to scare anybody away from it, but it is difficult. It is full of sacrifice. Amen. An elder should be the greatest working servant of a congregation. It is one of service. It's often underestimated by the people that are going to be an elder. I didn't realize how tough it was, how much responsibility it was. And it's usually always underestimated by the people that aren't. They don't see the behind the scenes of what all an elder does. It's always full of criticism. Every decision that is made, it's almost like a referee. No referee throws a flag that everybody likes. And a lot of times, people are full of criticism of the people leading God's people. But the lucky thing for us, all the standards, we don't have to come up with a list of standards of what we want to look for in a leader, because they're already for us in the Bible. God's given us the responsibilities, the requirements, the duties of an elder. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. God's gracious enough to give us what he expects, the requirements, the standards, where we don't have to come up with them ourselves. Leaders, they influence, or should. They should teach. They guide, they counsel, they comfort. and sometimes they have to discipline. Some of those things are easier to do than others. But they're all required. And we see throughout the Bible from cover to cover, godly leaders have done those things. Hopefully the right ones at the right time. It takes a very special and mature person to be a good leader. In James 3:1, James says, "Let not many of us become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." We're going to receive those of us that teach, and leaders are teachers. Leaders are guides. There's going to be more criticism. There's going to be greater scrutiny, sometimes of God. God expects more of the leaders. There's going to be greater expectations from within the body. The leaders are the ones the people are going to turn to. There's going to be greater criticism and judgment, per se, from outside the body. The discussion today in Bible class about how, I think it was Preston, that mentioned how when David sinned with Bathsheba, not only was it a sin, gave occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme.
Amen.
And so one of the requirements for elders is to have a good, you know, a good rapport and a good respect from those outside. Not that they're choosing you, but they find out you're an elder in your church. The way you talk, the way you behave, the way you do X, Y, or Z, and you're a leader in your church, gives them cause to blaspheme. And of course, one of the biggest criticisms and judgments we face sometimes is within ourselves. We are told to let a man examine himself. We have to examine ourselves. And sometimes that criticism comes back to us. God has always, always demanded good, strong leadership. And we've seen example after example. When it's not there, the direction things go. And it usually goes there fast, and it's usually very bad. We saw it in the garden. When Adam did not live up to the leadership he had been given, Eve can blame the serpent all she wants. But where was Adam?
Amen.
Adam fell down in his responsibility. In the golden calf, Moses up on the mountain getting the law of Moses, the word of God, and he comes back and people are running amok. With a good look. That's what the book of Judges, the book of the Bible is a story of that. When there's good leaders, people usually follow that. And when it's not, they're just drifting from sin to sin, from false teaching to false teaching. Our scripture reading that Tracy read today was taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." It's very important for us to try to look at things how God sees it in Scripture.
Amen.
Not the way we want. Well, they look like a leader. We do that with politics. This is not, the church is not politics, or should not be. They sound like one. God looks at the heart. He does not look at, well, they look like, you know, on the outside, they're a CEO. They lead lots of people. This is God's people. Total different animal. The home is the first example we see of godly leadership, of fathers and husbands. In Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel," and as we read this, think of the responsibility, the requirements, the duties involved in these few scriptures. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's how this passage starts off. You are required to do this. "And these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." They've got to be in you first. They've got to be in the Father before He can pass them on. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You shall live it daily."
That's right.
"And it should be obvious to those in and out of the house."
Amen.
What that house is like.
Amen.
We see in Proverbs 2 about search after the wisdom and the understanding. Proverbs 3, teaching, "My son, do not forget my law." You've got to teach them so they can't forget. Proverbs 22, a verse that we're all familiar with, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Mm-hmm. That's a big responsibility. A responsibility of a father just isn't to provide food on the table for somebody, a roof over their head. Train up a child. Well, I told you once. You didn't figure it out? Train them regularly. We teach our children how to ride a bicycle. You know, well, you get on, and you pedal, and you steer it. Okay, have fun. Right when you crash. No, you train them. And Ephesians 6, verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." This is just one chunk so far that we've looked at. Next week, we're going to look at Moses, the leadership that one of the greatest figures in the Old Testament, the leadership he displayed that we can learn from. But true godly leadership is not only commanded by God, but it's desperately needed by us. If you need to respond to the invitation, urge you to come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism and be forgiven of your sins, we have the ability and the opportunity to do that also. If you need prayers, whatever your need is, please come forward. while Daryl leads us. Let's all stand and sing together.